Will you join me in prayer? Father God, we indeed are here this morning for one reason, to worship you. We acknowledge the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, whose death on the cross and subsequent resurrection to new life makes it possible for us to be here today. We thank you for this. Lord, you have given us your Spirit here on earth to lead us, to guide us, to empower us to be your hands and feet. Give us now the courage to do so. God, you are so amazing and you are unexpected. You show up in our lives in a variety of ways. We thank you. We thank you for all those times that you have watched out for us, even when we're not aware of it. Those times where we've called perhaps on your name, you have answered us. You have extended your grace to us. Whether it's a hand of comfort, whether it's that listening ear, whether it's that miraculous restoration of our physical health. God, you can heal us in every way, and we ask that you do so. God, I thank you for this group of people that you have gathered here today by the power of your Spirit, that you would receive our worship. Lord, for all those things that have not been pleasing to you in this past week, we lay them at your feet. We confess our sins, and we know that when we repent, you offer your forgiveness. We are free and clear. You have said so in your word, and you have shown us through your actions. God, we pray for those in our midst who are hurting right now. We pray for brothers and sisters around the world who are gathering to worship. Lord, we pray for even those this morning whose churches have been torn apart by yet more attacks. God, will you lift up the hearts, bind the brokenhearted, bring strength to the weary, comfort to those in agony. God, closer to home for those who are struggling. Perhaps the body isn't working as well as it used to. Perhaps the emotions of the past week have been a roller coaster that's a little too hard to handle. Perhaps there's someone close to them who is suffering right now. God, will the power of your Spirit touch their lives in a real and powerful way? Make yourself known. And Lord, as you reveal yourself, may you open our eyes to see your glory, that we may partake here on earth and let your will be done here as it is in heaven. God, for this day and for every day that is to come, we give you thanks and we wait in hopeful anticipation of that day when your Son Jesus returns to earth. God, in the meantime, strengthen us and receive our worship, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I show what's in the box, I want to read something from the Bible. For those of you that were here last week, we celebrated Palm Sunday, the time when Jesus returns to Jerusalem and he comes in riding on a donkey, and he comes as a king, but not the king that people expect. And then all throughout the week, things get worse and worse. And this conspiracy against Jesus grows until the time on Friday when he's put to death on the cross. Right after Jesus dies, he is buried. And I want to read about his burial and then his resurrection. There was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. He took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, just as the Sabbath was about to begin. For Jews, the Sabbath would be from Friday evening until Saturday evening. As his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun. So they rested as required by the law. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. Some Bibles will actually say, appearing as lightning. They were so bright. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But in typical fashion, I added those words. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, I love that word, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. That's from the account according to Luke. I have this box here. I know that some of you, when you get a box like this at home and you see this little sign here, this little like smiley up face, you start to get excited because you're not sure what's in it. And you start to think, man, what could it be, unless you're the one that's actually ordered it? But if you don't know what's in it, maybe that excitement is misplaced. Are you sure that what's inside is going to be a good thing? What, in fact, if it's empty, like that tomb was that day? Was that an exciting moment for those first people? Perhaps. And perhaps it was a little bit scary because they expected to find something in there. When I was a young kid, who remembers these? This is what I came to expect every day, was a what? It's a lunch bag. And when you take your lunch to school, sometimes you're excited, and sometimes, like me, sometimes you're disappointed by what you find. But you never know until you open it up. When you open it up, you might start to pull something out, and what do you see? You're like, oh no, is this a day I actually get to eat hot dogs? And then you look at them and you realize, no, they're just the buns, and they're a little freezer burned, and you think, oh no, Mom must have made a mistake, or in my case, Dad was the lunch maker. Dad must have really made a mistake. Oh man, these are kind of hard and not very good to think about. So you dig deeper, and you're thinking, oh, I hope that there's like a treat in here, something that's really tasty. And you start to pull something out, and you think, what is this? Sand. It might look like sand. And you sniff, and you're like, ooh, this smells kind of sweet. What is it? And then you realize, oh, it's sweet coconut chunks, and you don't like coconut, but your dad does, and so he put it in a bag for you. Or you reach in, and if you grew up in my in-laws' family, you grew up with fruit, and you might be excited to eat fruit until you take it out, and then you see this is the piece of fruit. Oh, yeah, I wish you could capture this face. That's what she looks like right now. And then you're like, this is kind of squishy and really not that appetizing. See, in our lives, there's many times where we get excited. And sometimes, every now and then, we start to pull something out, and it's something that we've never seen before. And it looks kind of fun and exciting. And if you are young right now, I want you to come up, and I'm going to give you one of these. Because what do you think is in this box here? Young or young at heart. Here, you can have one of these, and we're going to talk for just a second. Come on up. If you shook a piece of musical equipment, then we got one for you. Now, the only thing that is going to have to come back to us at the end are the clipboards, okay? Parents and other folks. Someone really wanted the clipboard, and they weren't so keen on the other. Here, take one. Here. Here. There, take one. Take one. You can each have one. Take one. Here. Yeah. Pastor Amy's going to bring a few to the back. Here, take one. You can have one. You can have one. Here, do you want one? There you go. There you go. Here. There. You're an old one. I see a few more up here. Come on up here. You can have one too. Come here. Here. You can have one. There you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. One more? Okay. Here we go. Here. There you go, little one. Yeah, we got a few more. Here, I'll give you those. I'll give you those. Now, for those of you that have one of these, you're probably wondering what you're supposed to do with it. You are going to be making a project that's going to help us as we get a little bit further in the service. Now, if you are responsible for those young ones, you can help them. But here's just a little taste of what you're creating this morning, okay? So you've got the little things. You can take the backs off. You can use the paper, all right? And then you can write on them whatever that you want to write on, okay? And we'll come back to that. I got one more right here. You know, I know we have a few young at heart people that would just love. If you struggle with attention, you know, this might be the thing, just the thing for you. All right. Perfect timing. Yep. Now those hearts, if you just peel the first one and then you work on that, then you'll be able to attach it to the back side, or to the other side of the second heart, all right? I'm sure you guys will figure it out. You guys are smart, okay? I'm going to leave this right here. You know, for the rest of us, we know that often we reach into whatever is in our bag for that day. And you know that life is like a mixed bag. It's not just a line from Forrest Gump about chocolates, the box of chocolates. We know that life is a mixed bag, and there will be times where you pull out something amazing. Life hands you just the most wonderful gift that particular day. And you're in a place where you can really say, man, what a great thing that this is happening to me today. But you also know that you have days where you reach into the bag and you pull out that thing that you don't really like. Or you discover it's something that's really hard to chew. It's something that doesn't taste very good. And yet, it's what life has thrown at you that day. Some days are great, and other days, bam, you're on the ground. And you get back up out of the dust and you wonder, what just happened to me? What just hit me that knocked me flat on my feet? Luke records such a story. We know it today as the greatest story ever, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But for those people on that very day, when they go to that tomb, they discover something that they were not expecting, that they were not realized or waiting for. They had missed the point that Jesus had tried to communicate to them throughout his life. Just past the section that I read for us this morning, I want to read a story about two of those people. You see, we often think of the closest group of people, the apostles. One betrayed Jesus, and now there were 11. But there was a much greater group of disciples. Those were people who were pledging their life to follow Jesus, to listen to him, and to try to do what he was telling them to do. Two of those men decided, we don't know what's up. We're going to leave Jerusalem. For whatever reason, they decide to leave. And as they leave, they have a discussion. And it's a discussion that you or I might easily connect with. Let me read a few verses. This is Luke 24. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14 for us. That same day, this is later Easter day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Imagine walking 7 miles after a long day. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. You see, they knew about the empty tomb. They had been in Jerusalem. They knew what was going on. And we can imagine that they were probably extremely confused right now. They didn't know what was going on anymore. They expected that Jesus was going to come and liberate their nation, that he would take them out from under the rule of their Roman oppressors. And suddenly, he dies on a cross, and then his body isn't there anymore, and you'd be confused too. This isn't what they expected. In fact, everything about this is unexpected. So what do you think God does? He does the unexpected. He shows up. And as these two are walking down the road, suddenly somebody comes into their midst. Verse 15, as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. You see, their faces were downcast. They were dejected. Their hearts were troubled by what had happened. And suddenly, Jesus is standing right next to them, but they can't even recognize him. They're so focused on how they're feeling in that moment and their confusion and everything, and they can't see Jesus. They wonder, what's up with this guy that just started walking with us? Let me read verse 17. He asked them, that's Jesus, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? They stopped short. Their faces, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, named Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. What things? Jesus asked. They're probably wondering, has this guy been under a rock the last few days? Little did they know that actually he was, and now he's not. So Jesus asked them again, what things? What happened? He wants to know what has them in that state. And so the two disciples proceed to tell him his story, at least the part that they know. The things that happened to Jesus in the rest of verse 19. The man from Nazareth, they said, he was a prophet who did powerful miracles. And he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at the tomb early this morning. They came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. This is a story that's been told many times. For those of you who have spent Easters in a church of any kind, you've perhaps heard that before. But right in the middle of this story is something that I think we can all identify with in our human experience. If you look at verse 21, there are three little words, and it says, "We had hoped." We had hoped. And I believe that these are words that speak into the reality of each of our lives, because all of us have been in that place. We had hoped life would turn out different. I had hoped this job offer would work out. We had hoped we could make this marriage work. I had hoped this depression wouldn't return. We had hoped the cancer was gone for good. We had hoped Dad would stop drinking. We had hoped Mom would stop yelling. I had hoped rehab would work. We had hoped the anger was gone. I had hoped he would be the one. We had hoped she would change. I had hoped I wouldn't hurt my family. We had hoped they would find their way. You see, these are a few simple words that bring voice to the experience of our life together. Part of humanity is that we have all suffered in some way. And we have experienced a version of these words. Yet in a simple way, these words are a little window into how our heart operates. Our hearts can be strong, a source of profound strength and courage for that moment. We can rise to the challenge. And our hearts can also be weakened, affected by pressure, pained by stress, and exhausted by the overload of daily life. These are the hearts that Jesus chooses to walk with as they're leaving Jerusalem and going back to their home 7 miles away. These are the hearts that Jesus chooses to listen to on the road, because he really does want to hear what things, what has happened. Why are you feeling like this? It's not just those two that Jesus wants to hear today. He wants to hear what is the story, that deep, deep story in your heart, the truth of what you are experiencing. He's already done it before, and he wants to do it again with each of you. Maybe you are here today and you're experiencing a "we had hoped, I had hoped" moment, something that's going on in your life. Tell him the truth of where your heart is at. This might be the only shot you have. You don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. You don't need to water down the truth that is in your heart. You do not need to offer words that aren't true, because if God can send his son to die on the cross, then he can certainly hear the truth that is in our hearts. If this is where you are, share your heart to him, and the living, active presence of the risen Lord Jesus will come to you right this very moment. He will hear you even now. For these two gentlemen that were on the road, we had hoped it didn't have to be this way. We had hoped that our hearts wouldn't be broken in this way. And as Jesus walks along, perhaps the wounds in his hands are still itching a little bit. just like when you get a scab over a wound and it's kind of itchy. Jesus is probably itching as he walks along with them. You see, the wounds are still in his hands. He is resurrected to a new resurrection body, and yet there's something that's still the same about him. But he's not thinking about his itchy wounds. He's preparing to rock their world, to open their eyes once and for all, to speak new life and hope into those bruised and battered hearts that didn't know which way was up. See, these disciples, they should have known all of this, but they didn't. They should have known that his death on the cross was necessary, but you know what? God didn't give up on them, even though they should have known better. He chose to walk with them all the way to where they were going. As Jesus walks, he has complete authority. Their eyes could have been opened in that moment. They didn't have to walk a further step, but that's not what God chooses to do. He chooses to wait just a little longer. And then something happens. They begin to change. How did this change happen? As we see a little bit of how Jesus responds to them, there's just a couple of things that jump out to me. The first is that Jesus chooses to speak to their broken hearts. And as he speaks, it opens up a new reality. Let me read what the scripture says. Verse 25, Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe that all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself." All the scriptures. They had plenty of time to walk. This was not a 20-minute sermon, probably. He tells them everything that they need to know, at least up here. And then he goes one step further. He knows that if they had listened well, they would have already gotten it. He tells them the truth that their hearts are actually slow to believe. And he knows how to speak to what their broken hearts need. And what does he wait for? He waits for them to invite him in. Verse 28, by this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on. But they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. Jesus waited for that invitation to enter. And they began their walk consumed by what they were feeling, those heavy hearts that they had. They weren't ready to see or encounter the truth at that moment. But it's late. And when it's late, you need to rest. And you need to eat and sleep. And Jesus is not about to waste this opportunity. You see, this is Jesus' own "I had hoped" moment that becomes real. "I had hoped and I desire for lost, broken, and wounded hearts to invite me in." And this is what they have done. Jesus accepts their invitation, and now they are ready to see. What does he do? Let me read the verse 30. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. I don't know, but I'm assuming it probably was not a hot dog bun. Probably not a stale. I'm not even going to eat this. But he takes what they offered late at night, and he transforms it. Look at what Jesus does. It says he takes this bread, and he blesses it. He thanks God for it. It's a gift. And then what? He breaks it. And then what? He gives it. He takes, he blesses, he breaks, and he gives. You know, Jesus did this throughout the recorded Bible. He did this to feed hungry crowds of thousands. He did those same actions And suddenly, a few pieces of bread and a few fish were enough to feed this room 50 times over just by those actions. He does this with his closest friends in that final meal together, and now he does this for two more. This is how Jesus is. He takes what's offered. He breaks it, which can be painful, and then he gives it. What was broken can feed them now far beyond their stomachs. And these two were finally at a place where they received what Jesus offered. And let me read verse 31. Suddenly, I love that word. It's one of my favorite words in the Bible. Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And they recognized him. See, these were disciples. They had seen Jesus before. They knew who he was, but now they see him as the risen Lord standing in front of them. And at that moment, he disappeared. And instead of being like, oh, where'd he go? They respond in a far different way. This is how they respond. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us? Not heartburn, hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us. See, they were already feeling something, even though they could not see Jesus yet. Their hearts were burning inside of them. They knew there must be more to the story. And as Jesus gives them what they offered, they finally see it. They finally see it. Jesus broke through their blindness. He transformed their tired and broken hearts, giving them new eyes to see what I want to call a new resurrection heart. A resurrection heart that is overflowing with hope. See, their eyes were downcast at the beginning of the story, and suddenly it says their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And they said, we had burning hearts. We knew something was up. This new heart that Jesus offers is one that is moved and motivated by the love of God. This heart that Jesus wants to give you is capable than far more than you can ever imagine. It is a resurrection heart. It beats to a new beat. It has a power that is not of this world. It is a power that is eternal, and Jesus offers it to you and to me. But it will require your participation and readiness to receive it. For those two traveling disciples, they didn't just stop there. In fact, it's late at night. They are 7 miles from Jerusalem. And what do they say? It says, and within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them. And do you know that just a few minutes after that moment that they returned, it says that Jesus appeared to them again, poof, right in their midst to be with them. This is what the Lord God in heaven hopes for us as well, that we would respond to that burning feeling that we have inside of us. I have hope, God might say. They would know how much I love them. I have hope that they will receive all that I long to give. Perhaps you're here, right now. You're feeling something different in your heart. And if you feel something different in you today, do not miss the opportunity to respond to what God is speaking to you. You are not here by accident. I said this last week too. You are not an accident, and you're not here by accident. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that first created you and formed you out of the dust. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power to bring life where none existed before. It is power to restore what is broken. It is power to soften the hardest heart. It is power to make it burn with new hope overflowing in love. This is power, my friends. It is the power of God, resurrection power. Is this the day you are open and ready to receive what Jesus has already prepared for you and what he already eagerly waits to offer to you. It doesn't cost a thing other than to say, yes. I want to urge you, brothers and sisters, today, have the courage to invite Jesus to enter your bruised or broken heart, whether it's the first time or the 40th time. You might have done it many, many times before. Invite him in again. We're going to pray now, and if you desire a new heart with a new life and direction, I invite you to pray along with me. You can pray silently in your heart. And if you do pray, know that this is the start of a brand new day for you. This is a chance to change the outcome from the disappointment of your I had hoped to the excitement of I have hope. This is the power of a resurrection heart, my friends. Pray with me. Jesus, heal our hearts. I believe you are alive. I place my trust in you. Give me a resurrection heart that burns with new understanding. Give me a heart that will lead me onto the path you have prepared for me. I hope that today, Jesus, is a new day. I put my hope and trust in you. Friends, we pray this in the power of the risen Lord Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I see all these wonderful hearts that a lot of our kids, do you want to put those up here? You can. I feel bad for you adults that you don't get something so pretty. So I do want to reach into our lunch bag. And you know what? Not everything is coconut or stale bread. Sometimes we also have something that is a good thing. And so if you just take one and you can pass them along, I'll just throw a few here. There you go. We want you to remember this moment, that as you see this heart, know that this is a symbol of the resurrection heart that Jesus wants to give to you and will give you. And I know we got more that are coming back here too, okay? You know, later in the Bible, after some time had passed, oh, do you really want that? I don't think you want what's in there. If you really want, I'll give you the heel of the bread, too. Because, you know, that makes a great... that makes a great sandwich. After some time had passed, this is what the Bible says in Romans 10. The message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. That message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. That's it. May God bless you in this week to come. May he strengthen you and give you all that you need. And may he perhaps speak the words that you need to hear. Go in peace to love and serve one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.